And now, on our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, The Wonderful World of Brunch, which is addressed in this month's edition. The Sauce team has left no stone unturned as they've examined this delicious tradition and here to report on their findings. Executive editor, LaGaia Figueres. Managing editor, Garrett Faulkner. And art director, Mira Nagarajan. Welcome to you all.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And you brought some brunch with you that I'm looking at, and we'll get to that in just a minute. LaGaia, brunch.
Steve.
Rating brunch. This must have been exhaustive research, to be sure.
It was exhaustive research. Our stomachs are bigger than ever. In some cases, we were having three brunches a day, which is really a feat. And I was having dreams about brunches. It was crazy. And on top of it, the research finished near the time of Easter and Mother's Day. And we had to be careful of that because part of the research in the parameters, we weren't looking at buffets. So and Easter and Mother's Day, sometimes those menus are going to be distinct from what's typical. So we had to, logistically, it was tricky, but definitely we are stuffed.
Well, we appreciate your work.
Oh, I hope everyone enjoys it.
Garrett, in the battle for the best brunch, I think you ended up with like 11 finalists. So how many did you start with, and how stiff was the competition?
It was really, really competitive, Steve. We started with almost 50 contenders, I'd say, and narrowing that down to the final 11 was challenging, to say the least.
But you did it.
Yes.
Mira, as Sauce's art director, I'm wondering if the visual presentation of brunch was especially important to you?
It was. You know, brunches, during the day, we wanted it to be bright. We wanted it to be sunny. We wanted it to look like an airy, you know, meal that you can just, we wanted it to be sunny. That's what we were looking for.
LaGaia, what do we know about the origins of brunch? When did it begin?
So that's a little bit hazy. From some of the research that we did, it looks like it could be, some food historians think, it could have its roots in English, the hunt breakfasts. So imagine you're out chasing foxes, and in the middle you have this big spread of food. That's one theory. Another is actually that it has to do with, on Sunday, that it derives from the Catholic practice of fasting before Mass. So you go, you're fasting, you know, for all overnight, you go to Mass, and then finally you sit down for a large meal. Those are two ideas. However, if we want to talk factually and for sure, the first time brunch is actually appearing in print is 1895, British, in an article, a magazine that was called Hunter's Weekly. And what's fun, the author says, quote, "Brunch is cheerful, sociable, and inciting. It is talk compelling. It puts you in a good temper. It makes you satisfied with yourself and your fellow being. It sweeps away the worries and the cobwebs of the week." So right there, you get to this very social idea of a brunch. Now, in the United States, it appears that what's curious is it's not New York, it's not LA where it goes big, it's Chicago. And they attribute that to the transcontinental train. The stars would stop there. No places would be open on Sunday, the restaurant-wise. So hotels pick up on this, and they're feeding these stars, you know, these midday meals.
Did I understand you right that you said you didn't look at buffets?
Buffets, no. I will quickly run through the criteria. Buffets, a restaurant could offer a buffet, but for our criteria, it absolutely had to offer an a la carte menu, and that menu had to be distinct from its normal lunch and dinner offerings. And in addition, it had to have at least one item that was distinct from what we would find on the lunch or the dinner menu. It also had to offer cocktails. That's just tradition for brunch.
Can't have it without
cocktail. Mm-hmm. That just won't work. And then the hours. Brunch had to be available until at least 2 p.m. because in our brunches in St. Louis, one of our critiques is brunch ends too soon around here. And so you'll find them going until, you know, 4 o'clock in some places.
Well, what do you all think? I always thought of brunch sort of as a fancy affair. So is brunch a luxury?
I think it's one of those treats that you give yourself. It's my favorite meal to go out to eat. Because it's only once, maybe twice a week if you're lucky. And so I think
you have brunch twice a week?
I mean, you know, sometimes people will offer it on Saturdays, but it's usually only on Sundays. And it's one of those meals that you want to go to, and you don't want to be in a rush. You want to show up when you get up, when you, like, finally roll out of bed, and then you want to go there and not feel rushed to leave, like, you know, it's ending at 12:30 or 1 o'clock. You can just be there as long as you feel like it.
Yeah, I don't think brunch does not have to be fancy. That's not a qualifier for brunch.
Garrett, I've got another question. What about, I always think of brunch sort of as a group activity. I can't imagine going to brunch by myself for some reason. Don't ask me why. So is it a group activity, you think? Is that an element?
I mean, I think historically, yes. It has always been a sort of social convention, and I think it remains so now. I think that's part of the allure of brunch is being able to gather a group of friends and, you know, keep it casual, have some good food, have some good drinks. But that's not to say that other person can't go by themselves and have a perfectly wonderful brunch. But I think part of the fun is keeping it social.
Another thing I was thinking about, too, is brunches are usually on Sunday mornings. Since it's a group activity, you know, you make plans with people. We're all going to meet for brunch the next day. So I'm thinking, when you do that and people don't show up, does that give you an insight to what they did the night before?
Maybe.
I'm not asking personal experience or anything, but just curious. Well, listen, you brought something with you today.
Yes, this is, we brought you our cover dish. It's the lemon ricotta blueberry pancakes from Cucina Pazzo.
Describe that.
It's two pancakes, and they're studded with blueberries and fresh ricotta cheese. And then it's topped with a little bit of a sea salt caramel butter, which is essential, and a lemon zabaglione, which is kind of a frothy egg yolk sauce. It's like an Italian answer to hollandaise, I guess. And it's topped with a little bit of maple syrup, which you can put on there right now.
Right now, just drizzle the maple syrup.
That's right.
Good.
Like so.
So when I went there to pick that up, you're welcome, Steve.
Now hold on. This is the important part.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be quiet.
Drum roll.
Okay, so let me sharpen my knife and fork here. All right. So who made this?
That's from Cucina Pazzo in the Central West End.
All right, hold on. That's the best pancake I've ever had.
Right? We love it, too.
Oh, my gosh. That is good.
So they just went from having 100 covers normally on Sunday brunch to now they're doing, last weekend they did 250. I guess that's flying out the door like, you know, the pancakes are crazy.
Do you want to keep talking while I finish this? No, listen,
sure.
I want to know your favorites, but first, earlier we asked our listeners some of their favorite places to eat brunch in St. Louis. I just want to share this with you, a couple of them. Elaine votes for Aya Sophia. Reese says Plush is amazing for brunch. He says it's great food, awesome people, delightful coffee. Benton Park Cafe received two votes from Kayla and Emily. Julie says Southwest Diner. She loves the atmosphere and the food, delicious and different. And Ruth votes for Vindicet. So what were your favorites?
Well, I mean, I really loved the brunch that I tried at the restaurant at the Cheshire, which is, the menu I thought was, there's nothing common about it. You're not going to find a lot of the dishes that they offer at a lot of other restaurants. They had a seared halibut with eggs and grits and vegetables and a citrus vinaigrette, and I've never had that at a brunch before, but it was delicious. They really do fish really well at that restaurant. And then I tried a prime rib hash with a horseradish hollandaise and eggs there that I thought was excellent. And I really liked that their menu was so creative and unusual, but they offered sides that are like bacon, you know, normal sides that if all else fails, you can make a brunch that you love from the side menu alone.
Well, Garrett, how about you?
Well, one thing that wasn't unexpected but certainly a pleasant surprise was how well represented the Grove was in our brunch lineup. Two in particular, Atomic Cowboy and Soho Restaurant and Lounge, which are pretty much right down the street from each other. Those were my two favorites. Soho specializes in a Southern cuisine mainly. They had a really wonderful catfish and grits there. I've spent some time in the South too, and those were some of the best I've had. Their mimosa really stood out for me too. It has pineapple juice in it as well. Atomic Cowboy has more of a kind of renegade Western flair to it. Their spin on the Eggs Benedict had chipotle mayo on it, and they served an horchata iced coffee as well, which I thought was really delicious.
LaGaia?
So my favorite was Big Sky Cafe. Immediately when I got there, I felt so calm and peaceful, and everyone around me knows that I'm a harried, running around type of person. So it was just a great, great setting, and that's something that I look for in a brunch. But apart from that, I look for great attentive service, and they really had it. And as far as the menu goes, I really enjoyed, they had a great mix of heavy and light dishes, and some were clean and some are messy. And I say that in the sense of indulgent or, you know, healthy. But also what stood out was from the drink side, they had their, it was so spot on. They had a most delicious mimosa, and they had a fabulous Bloody Mary when they're using local tomato juice and freshly grated horseradish. It was simply a delight to be there.
How about things you didn't expect? Any food items surprise you or impress you? That's something out of the unusual?
For sure.
Out of the usual.
Yes. The tofu pudding at Hiro, I really enjoy Hiro, particularly for its Asian bent on a brunch. The tofu pudding, it's this tofu custard. You're going to get some fruit. Some of it's exotic fruit. Some of it's going to be local from around town. And then it's topped with granola. Fabulous.
I stopped by Local Harvest Cafe, now LHC, I guess, and they served me Kaylee's Comet, which is green. It looks like algae or something, but it's delicious. It's sweet. Has kale, apple, lemon, and ginger, and not ginger beer though, but it's still effervescent just from the natural interaction of the fruits and vegetables.
Well, I had also at Hiro that LaGaia just mentioned, they have their version of a slinger. And, you know, people in St. Louis love a slinger. You know, it's hash browns, hamburger patty, chili, cheese, eggs. But they do a little bit of a different take. They take tater tots and put it in there with some cheese and their bulgogi beef, which is a really sweet, savory mix of Korean beef.
What about eating out of doors? Any good recommendations?
I would say Soho. They have this lovely patio overlooking Manchester with pagoda tents, kind of a cloistered fence that's nice and private, but you get to see the action everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I think that Big Sky was really nice for, you know, you'll have trees out in front. They have some nice cushions and whatnot. Cucina Pazzo is very tree-lined.
Yeah,
and
get the central, those pancakes
the
there.
Central West End is such a great walking place, you know, afterwards. After you've loaded yourself up, you can walk it off.
They have like a tree, like a shady patio. So on these hot summer days, it's a great place to sit and have that dish.
Well, for more on brunch in St. Louis, check out the latest issue, the June issue of Sauce Magazine, which is out in the newsstands right now. I want to mention really quickly that today is Food Truck Friday, right?
Food Truck Friday is here again, yes.
That's 4 to 8 in Tower Grove Park. And then coming up on Sunday, June 29th, Sauce Magazine's having your annual Saucy Soiree.
Oh, yes. Please join us.
All right. One final thing. When you're at home making brunch, and I'll go first, what do you like the best? I like toasted bagels, lox and cream cheese, onions, and capers.
I like an egg white wrap in a whole grain wrap with sriracha mayo and bacon.
I just like an egg sandwich with grilled bread.
Yeah, it's a breakfast sandwich. I want to use a bagel, and the eggs are from my chicken, so that's doubly special.
And I do get to keep these pancakes, right?
They are yours.
All right, that's LaGaia Figueres. We've also been talking to Garrett Faulkner and Meera Nagarajan from Sauce Magazine. All of you, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And finally, we'd like to note the passing of a St. Louis broadcasting legend. Lou Father Times had a 50-year radio career that began in 1952 at an American Air Force base in Japan. He worked at a number of St. Louis radio stations over the years while holding down a full-time job for more than four decades with the Human Development Corporation of Metropolitan St. Louis and the city's License Collector's Office. He also had stints as a restaurant owner and stand-up comedian. His last radio gig in St. Louis was with KDHX. Mr. Times was elected to the National Association of Television and Radio Announcers and was inducted into the St. Louis Radio Hall of Fame. Lou Father Times died this week at the age of 85. Survivors include four children, including jazz singer Denise Times and Lou Times Jr., who you may remember on the radio as the real JR. If you'd like more on this gentleman's remarkable career, you can read an in-depth article by Gloria Ross on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Coming up next week on Cityscape, the Muni's 2014 season will open Monday night with Billy Elliot, and we'll be talking with Mike Isaacson about what else is in store this year. We'll also take a look at this year's Missouri Chamber Music Festival, which opens with concerts Wednesday morning at 10:30 and Thursday afternoon at 5 at First Congregational Church of Webster Groves. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk with Ridley Pearson about his latest novel in his Risk Agent series, The Red Room. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Kyle Jacoby, Amanda Hunnigfort, and the executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Put brunch on your menu for Sunday and join us next week.